attention.
The best of the old. The best of the new. The best variety in music.
We have a great variety of music.
Different music.
Tons of music.
It's awesome.
On.
Online anytime. 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Nagatik. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Today, I want to look at a passage of scripture that is in Mark chapter number 9. Mark chapter number 9, we'll start reading around the 15th verse. It says, "And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, What question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which had a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and penneth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since it came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oftentimes it had cast him into the fire and it into the waters and to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was coming to the house, the disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. I want to talk to you for just a little while from that text and from that example of great deliverance. I want to use for a thought, a look at a praying father. In this day in society, we have many people who say that they are fathers or daddies, and they really don't have a prayer life. Amen. They say they pray. Amen. But do they really know how to pray? Amen. They say, well, I talk to God. And if you talk to him, there's some things that he'll tell you that you should do, that fathers ought to do, that many fathers are not doing. The one thing I loved about this text and this particular topic is that the father in this whole thing, you hear that he's the one that had a concern for his son. He's the one that had a concern for the next generation. We have failed society as men because many times we leave the woman to tend to and defend for and to help out the children of the next generation. God has commissioned us as children of God and men that belong to God to be fathers as he is a father to us. Amen. And the reason why so many things, and I'm a firm believer of this, and you may disagree, but the reason why I believe that so many of the African-American young men are not in the workforce or not in the college getting a degree like they should be, but they are, most of them or many of them are locked up, incarcerated, or have records or, you know, things like that, is because somebody failed to father them. Amen. You don't have to agree. But we got to see here that there has to be a time for fathers to come back to prayer. Amen. It takes more than just people who say that they're deacons. Amen. In the church to pray. Amen. I remember coming up, the only men that you would see at the church most of the time are either the preacher and the deacons. Amen. The deacons could pray, and they taught the other deacons how to pray. But the man in the pew, he only came every now and then. The men that were in the pew only showed up because they were either looking for a good woman or they had some issues that they needed the church to help them with. And they did not know how to pray. But we thank God today that there is no excuse for us not developing a relationship with God, learning how to pray, seeking God, and asking God to do things in our life that we can't do for ourselves. Amen. And so we got to get to the point to where we become so concerned about the next generation that we mention them in our prayer each and every day. Oh, come on and say amen. It's time out for our prayers to be filled with God. Gimme, 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 gimme. It's time out for us asking for a man, a woman, a husband, a wife, or a car, a house, and money and things like that without mentioning the next generation. They are up against some things that we were not up against in our day. They're up against some things, and if you haven't noticed, I've noticed that the devil has increased his attack on the children of the next generation. He has turned up the heat so that they cannot make it, amen, and so they will not become all that God wanted them to be. They have come to the point that they're just like this boy. What are you talking about? This boy had a deaf and dumb spirit. In other words, this boy couldn't hear, and he sure couldn't speak. And the reason why he couldn't speak is because he couldn't hear. I had a neighbor that couldn't speak, and the reason, it wasn't that he couldn't make sounds to talk, but you have to know, you have to be able to hear in order to learn how to speak. What I'm saying is that this next generation, if they don't have an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying, they won't have a mouth to be able to speak the things that God wants spoken in this earth. They won't be able to speak and confess with their mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead and be saved. They won't be able to call those things that be not as though they were if they cannot hear. If they can't hear, amen, the Bible say, how can they hear without a preacher? Now you say you don't need him, but the Bible say, how can you hear without a preacher? How can he preach unless he be sent? You got to be able to hear what God is saying. He said, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But we have to get to a place where we start to, women, if it's not a man in the life of your child, you need to teach him how to pray. We need to get to the place where we start fostering in our children an attitude of prayer. Amen. A posture of prayer. When they do grow up, and if they're a man child, they'll know how to pray. Oh, yeah. Praying is not when you got trouble and you're asking God to help you. Praying is when you got a constant communication with God. Even if I don't have no trouble, I still talk to him. Oh, come on and say amen. It's not asking God to give you success. It's knowing that if I know how to pray, I'm successful already. Mark got his words and his writing from the eyewitness who we know as Peter, Simon Peter, as he was called by Jesus. And so I believe that when Mark wrote this, he didn't want, and Peter told him to write it, he didn't want to leave out things that were very important. Amen? So when we come to this chapter 9, we find out that it's time for Jesus to transfigure. Now, Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on Mount Hermon that he could have a communion with his Father. And when he got up there, all of a sudden he began praying and he began to transfigure. He changed who he looked like to them right in front of their eyes. They saw Moses and they saw Elijah, and they sat there and they saw Jesus change, and the visage of his image changed from being a fleshly person to becoming some heavenly being right before their eyes. Yeah, I would love to have had that experience. Amen. I would love to have seen that happen right before my eyes. But you know what? I get to see something even greater. Amen. I get to see people change into the children of God right before my very eyes. Oh, come on and say amen. So here was Moses and Elijah and then Jesus, and then a voice from heaven said, but before that, Peter said this. He said, let us build some tabernacles. Let us build something on your behalf, one for him, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you. Amen. And then the voice from heaven said, this is my beloved son. He said, hear ye him. Amen. In other words, you may have heard what Elijah said. You may have heard the law of Moses, but more importantly, you need to hear what Jesus has to say. Oh yeah, we may have read the Bible, we've read the Old Testament, but the most important thing for us is to hear what the Lord is saying right now. We need to know what God is saying at this very moment to our ears. We need a rhema word from God. A rhema word means a right now word, a spoken word into the ears of people, because the Bible says man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And so I need to hear what God is saying right now. How many know that God is always speaking, but we are not always hearing? Amen. And so since God is speaking, he's telling us now this morning that we need to develop a prayer life. Amen. The Bible says man ought to always pray and not faint. Look at this. Jesus was on the mountain and he went there to pray. And so happened while he was praying, he was transformed. What are you saying now? I'm saying that, look at this, our example is Jesus. And if we can get to a place where we know how to pray, your life can be transformed. You can become the son of God, the daughter of God that he intended for you to be from the very beginning. You will be able to be transfigured in front of the eyes of many people that watch you. People that want to watch you fail, you'll be transfigured. People who don't think you are no more than a long-haired Nazarene from Galilee, come on and say amen. Yeah, you will be transfigured. And then guess what? You don't have to speak for yourself. God will speak for you. He will show people who you really are. That's preaching already. So he was transfigured. And they didn't know what to say. So Jesus said, hold on, let's get down from here. It's time to go down. And so when they came down, the Bible says that there was a great multitude that was there. That's verse 14. And then they had the scribes there, and they were questioning and basically in a big brawl or big debate with the disciples. Amen. They were in a debate talking about why they could not deliver this boy from the spirit. Amen. Verse 15 says, and straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. They wanted to be seen by Jesus. They wanted, hey, Jesus, how you doing? Oh, Jesus, this my baby here. Oh, yeah, this my other son. They wanted to talk to Jesus. Amen. Because he was great, amen? And verse 16 said, and he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? In other words, here come Jesus down. And Jesus said, I want to know why you questioning my disciples? What you got against my disciples? Jesus was a leader. Amen. He took up for his disciples, even though they were weak in faith, he still defended them. Come on and say amen. What I'm saying is that even though you may be weak in faith, guess what? God still will defend you. God still will protect you. God will still keep you, even if you're weak in faith. I wish I had somebody that realized that. My faith is not where it ought to be, but thank God he's protecting me. He's a fence all around me every day. I'm being defended by God. He is my rock, my fortress. He is my high tower. Come on and say amen. So we get to the place now where the Father We see his position. The father's position here is that he came seeking, because look at this. And verse 17, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit. Now, all of a sudden, he asked the scribes and the disciples, what's going on? Why y'all out here in a big debate, a heated argument? And then they couldn't answer, so the man said, you know, he's standing there, the scribes can't help him, and the disciples can't help him, but they're arguing about who can help. I wish I had somebody. Now, we got to see something here. We got to understand what's going on. The scribes represent the lawmakers and the lawgivers. Oh, come on and say amen. The disciples represent the people who are in the church. So in other words, what was happening was the government and the church got into an argument, and nobody was getting any help. They were arguing about who should be able to help a child, help a generation, help somebody who was perplexed, who was oppressed and possessed by a devil, and nobody was getting any help, but all they were doing was arguing. That's the way it is today. All we want to do is argue with the government. The government want to see where the church should draw the line, separation of church and state. Then the church wants to separate the government and draw the line, and we're going at it back and forth. This law that they're making, we vote based upon laws and what we believe, right? And so they're making laws that we don't agree with in the church, and the church is saying, I'm not going to accept your laws. We're going at it back and forth, and there's a generation that's being possessed by devil. There's a generation that's being overwhelmed by an enemy that they can't help it, because from a child these things have been happening. Here it is, they arguing, and then all of a sudden the only one who really cared about this child spoke up. While we are fussing with the governor about what the school system ought to be, the only one that cares about this child needs to speak up. The only one, oh yeah, we need to pray. The only people that care about a child is the parent at times, amen? You can always tell who the parent is, because everybody want to hold the baby as long as he smells like Johnson & Johnson. But as soon as he make a boo-boo in the pamper, you need to find your mama or your daddy. Come on and say amen. And they're the only ones that care enough to say, let me go change him, amen? Now, when we look at this, we understand that this man, he spoke up because of his love for his child. Amen. He spoke up and he began to speak. But let's look at his position. He came seeking deliverance. He came and he said that my son has a dumb spirit. He said wherever he takes him, it tears him. He foams. He gnashes with his teeth. He said, I asked your disciples to help me, but they could not. Sometimes the church just can't help. My Lord. The disciples, sometimes they don't have no power. But what we got to understand is in the sixth of the same book that Jesus gave them power, and they came back and they were walking in some pride. They said, "Whoo! Even the devils are subject to us through your name." They came back and they were celebrating. And Jesus said this, don't rejoice about the devils being subject. Don't rejoice about how many demons you cast out. That's the church. That's how we do. We rejoice over money. We rejoice over things that we receive. We rejoice over certain stuff, but he said you need to rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. That's what we need to have joy. That's why our joy should be, amen, that our name is written, that we have a relationship with him, amen. And so they couldn't help him. They could not do anything for this boy, and Jesus got aggravated. Some people say he got ag. He got aggravated, and he said, oh, faithless generation. The word oh there is when you are in despair in a way, and you cry out and say, oh, God. But Jesus said, oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you, and how long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. Jesus said, how long do I have to keep showing you? How long do I have to keep going through the same stuff with you? How long is it going to take for you to understand what it takes to get these people saved, delivered, set free? Come on and say amen. Jesus said, how long do I have to suffer with you? Amen. So here it is, a father. Look at his position. The father's position, he came seeking, but ended up disappointed. He left in despair. And then he heard a discouraging discussion about who could and who couldn't deliver his son. But he answers Jesus, and the Bible said, look at this. He said, one of the multitude. This was a man who had no direct relationship with Jesus. One of the multitude decided to talk to Jesus. Amen. You remember I talked about how there are three type of people. There are people that are in the multitude. You know what that means? That means all you want is the blessing. I'm glad I got the two fish and the five barley loaves. I was there that day. I ate out of the basket. Come on and say amen. I seen him do it that day. All you want is a blessing, and you're there because he fed you. Come on and say amen. That's the multitude. Then you have the disciples. You got the nine that all they wanted was to be associated with Jesus so that they can have some authority. They were rejoicing that even the devils were subject to them in his name. Then you got them. I just want to preach. I just want to go to church. I just want to show people I got something. Come on and say amen. Then you got them. They just want a revelation. I want to hear what he say in private. Come on and say amen. But then you have the inner circle. There were only three of them in the inner circle. And if Jesus only had three, I don't know about you, but sometimes we don't have nobody in our circle. Come on and say amen. Jesus had three that he could trust with who he was. He could trust that they were of the inner circle, that they could take who he was and understand that he was the Son of God and not run out and publish it, but obey him when he said, don't tell nobody about this until I resurrect from the dead. He got three that he could trust. And this one from the multitude, this man was a multitude man. So he talked to Jesus and he told him about his problem. Amen. Remember that song, Just a Little Talk with Jesus Will Make It All Right? Anybody know that if I can just talk to him? You see, that's what I realized just from me having my little ailment that I didn't stop praying, but I couldn't say some of the stuff I wanted to say to the Lord. Come on and say amen. Because if the enemy can keep you from talking, if he can keep you from talking to Jesus and keep you from praying a prayer that'll bring you a deliverance, that's what he wants you to do. He wants to shut you up. Oh, come on and say amen. But you know what? I'm not going to shut up. I'm going to be like blind Bartimaeus. I'm going to holler until he hear me. Come on and say amen. I'm going to keep on talking until Jesus hear me. You know, I hate to stop right there, but I got to say this to somebody because somebody need to hear. The Bible said Bartimaeus was over there and he was hollering and screaming and they said, shut up, but he hollered all the more. I wish I had a church that realized that you got to keep talking all the more. When the enemy wants you to shut your mouth, you got to keep on, even if you got tears in your eyes, you got to keep on crying out to the Lord. Even if you don't feel yourself, I don't feel the prayer that I don't feel like I did when I had prayer. I don't feel the fire. I don't feel the good fire that I feel when I pray my effectual fervent prayer, but I'm still going to pray. Even if I don't feel like it, my body's tired, I need to open up my mouth and have a little talk with Jesus. I wish I had somebody say, I'm going to have a little talk with Jesus because I feel like and I know that that'll make it all right. See, you may not get no progress right now, but you got to keep on talking to Jesus. Come on. This man held a conversation with Jesus, and look at him in his position. He was there because the devil had taken over his son, but he decided that I'm not going to just take this lying down. I'm not just going to let this devil have my child. See, you got to say that to yourself. You got to say, look, I can't let the devil have the children of tomorrow. I can't let the devil have this next generation. I can't let him make them think that it's all right to do what they're doing. That's why they always say, don't judge me. I ain't judge you. God already did for the stuff that you're doing. So you need to turn around. Amen. I'm just a news reporter and I'm reporting what the judge said about what you're doing. Oh, come on and say amen. We got to get to a point that we don't get caught and take their bluff, that bluff that the devil wants to bring to keep our mouths closed. But I'm going to open up my mouth and I'm going to declare. The Bible tells us, he says, to cry loud and spare not. I'm not going to spare your feelings. I'm not going to spare the devil in you. Come on and say amen. The convenience of me closing my mouth, but I'm going to pray and talk to Jesus. Let's look at this. He says in verse 19, Jesus, he told him, he said, how long shall I be with you? See, we got to understand that when God began to speak, look at verse 20, and they brought him to him, Straightway the spirit tarried. When God begins to speak, the devil wants to show out. When there's a word from God, you will see a manifestation from the devil. Because he knows that that word comes to serve notice on him that his time is up. It reminds him that he don't have long to do what he wants to do. It reminds him and lets him know that God has given him a timetable, and all you got is this much time. And if you ain't done it, if you hadn't destroyed them by now, oh, they belong to me. If you hadn't taken them out by now, they belong. Oh, come on and say amen here. Oh, yeah, we need to know that every time God speaks, when Jesus opened his mouth and spoke in verse 19, they brought the boy to him in verse 20, and the Bible say that he tore him. The spirit acted the fool right before Jesus when he saw him. When that spirit see Jesus on the scene, that's when that spirit will begin to act up. That spirit will begin to manifest. Oh yeah, we got to know the difference between shouting and a demonic manifestation. We got to know the difference, but oh, come on and say amen, between them falling out in the spirit and somebody slithering on the floor like a demon. Come on and say amen. We got to know the difference. Oh, yeah, there's somebody speaking in tongues and then somebody else saying something than a demonic tongue. I wish I had somebody. Oh, yeah, you got to understand there's a difference. Amen. And you'll know the difference because you'll know the spirit of God brings peace, but the demonic spirit ain't no peace, ain't no rest. Oh, come on and say amen. And so when we look at this, that we saw that the devil, he knew that he was about to get dealt with in verse 20. So he wallowed on the ground. He wallowed and he was foaming at the mouth. I wish I had somebody here. In verse 21, he said, and he asked the father, how long is it ago since he came unto him? And he said, of a child. Some things that we got going on in our life, we got going on and it was there since we were a child. Some personalities that we are protecting within ourselves, we need to come on and say amen. We need to regroup and reassess ourselves and realize that that personality was fostered by a demon. Lord, help me today. Oh, yeah, and when somebody tell you there's something wrong with that part of your personality, it's no time to buck up. It's time for you to get down and pray, Lord, help me to break this. I've been like this since I was a child. There's no need in me being jealous when somebody else is being blessed. There's no need in, oh, come on and say amen. There's no need in me being envious and seeking to hurt other people when they've never done me no harm. That's a personality flaw, but it was fostered by demon. It's no need in me having an attitude with people when they done me no wrong. Wish I had somebody that understood what I'm saying, but it was fostered from a child. No need in me bucking against authority and people who have authority over me, because as a child, you thought it was cute when they cursed and they were disobedient. And oh, come on, when they said no, when you told them yeah, and they said no, and they cried and you didn't spank that tail, something wrong. You need to foster the right personality rather than letting them come up from a child with no discipline. I wish you don't have to say, man, that preaches anyway. That'll preach here, that'll preach there. I can go to hell and preach that. Oh, come on and say, man, and save somebody. Oh, yeah, come on. The Bible said train up a child in the way that they should go. When they're old, they won't depart from it. But if you don't put no training there, what do they have to go back to? If you didn't show them the way from the beginning, what can they go back and say? I've learned something. I realized mama was right. You say it all the time. I realized mama was right when she said this. I realized daddy was right when he told me that. You always quote mama and daddy. So what about you telling your children some stuff that'll help them out? Is there any praying men in the house? Oh, yeah. Any praying mothers in the house? Any praying people in the house? Oh, yeah. We got to see here that we got to get to a point to where we are not.